Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Her Healthful. My name's Araste, and we're doing well today. Vibes are good. Sun is shining. It has been raining kind of like on and off for the past few days. And I'm a girly whose mood is very dependent on the weather. I don't know if you're the same, but if you catch me talking about the weather like every episode, it's truly because of that. Don't even like start with me on the winter. That's just going to be something else. Like, but anyways, it's still September. We're good. Life's good. I have an exciting trip next week at the end of next week, and I'm so excited. Like, it's just such a great opportunity, and I have a lot of imposter syndrome. I'm just like, really? Like, I get to do this? It's just crazy. So I'm really excited to share with you all, and just kind of a lesson for me this year and the past few months especially is to just, instead of thinking of the worst case scenario, why not think of the best case scenario? And not even just think about it, but like believe that it's gonna happen. And I just feel like it's such a great way to move in life, to think that the best thing is always gonna happen to you, because you're just gonna then act in a way where you're more confident and you radiate this energy where you're like, yes, good things are gonna happen to me and I'm deserving of it. So I don't know, it's a little mindset shift. And speaking of mindset, like that is very heavily the focus of today's episode with Rebecca Lee. We basically talk about mindset in so many different domains. Like I'd be asking her about her health journey or her career, and all of her answers somehow came back to mindset. So I'm definitely a big proponent of that. And I just think like having it sort of spelled out for you in terms of like how can you apply to this domain and that domain is just so enlightening. And it was not even planned. Like this episode was just a free-flowing conversation, and you know I really try to prioritize that on my podcast, so I really hope you enjoy it and leave learning even one thing, because I'm very intentional about my guests, my solo episodes, like literally all of it. I want to help somebody, and I hope it does. So I'm just gonna shut up now and let you listen to the guest episode, and I will see you next week. And for now, let's get into the episode with Rebecca Lee Health. Hi everyone, I'm here with Rebecca Lee from Rebecca Lee Health. How are you?
Hi everyone, I'm so good. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I don't know if many of you follow her. I'm sure you do, because you have obviously been big on TikTok, now big on Instagram, and like I feel like everyone I talk to knows about you, but if there are some people who don't, can you give like a little intro of who you are, what you do, just like a little elevator pitch for everyone?
Yeah, so hi everyone, I'm Rebecca. I currently live in Los Angeles. I'm originally from Chicago. I am a holistic nutritionist, and I'm just super passionate about all things, you know, health, wellness, holistic health. And that is through, you know, I get to express that through my pages on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and my podcast, the Rebecca Lee podcast as well. And so just super excited to be here today and chat more with you.
Yeah, for sure. So we like really briefly met earlier this year, which is always cool, because like, I don't know, you know, people online, but then to have the real person thing, it's always like a pleasure. But yeah, I was like totally jealous that you live in LA, because the weather for sure is one of the factors that I feel like is so beautiful. But you obviously haven't lived in LA your whole life. So you are originally from Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So how has the move been from Chicago to LA? Like, is it like what you expected? And like, how did you make that decision?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Even first off, I remember meeting you in Erewhon. That was such a fun night too. I
literally classic back of
it. I know you'll have to come back to LA soon. It was too short.
No, I'm coming actually in like I think February or March for like a conference. So it's gonna be longer this time. Yeah. So
amazing.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I'll see you there. So the move from Chicago to LA was definitely not an easy decision. I was actually supposed to move to New York City after college. I went to University of Michigan for my job, but then COVID hit and this was in 2020, no one was moving. So I just moved back home in Chicago and worked my corporate job remotely. And during that time, I also started my pages. So that was growing while I was working at home in Chicago. And then I started visiting my sister who lives in LA. And I was like, I really like LA. This is such a super cool spot. Maybe I should not move to New York. Maybe I should move to LA instead. And I started meeting like some girls out there who, you know, helped me move and, you know, helped convince me a little bit more to move too and made me feel a little bit more comfortable about it. So I took the jump about a year and a half ago and moved to LA. And it's been such a great decision just for like my overall, like my career, my happiness. I'm obsessed with like the weather, the beach, the nature. I needed that. I'm not a winter girl at all. So getting out of Chicago winters were like, was amazing. But yeah, it's been overall a great experience. And I know some people can like have different opinions of LA and, you know, you see a range of what people say about it. But in my personal experience, it's been nothing but positive.
Yeah. And I feel like for every city, there's always going to be positives and negatives. It's like really just like what works for you and your lifestyle. But that's amazing. I feel like you've lived there for so much longer for some reason. It just like feels like you fit in LA. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just like in terms of, you said you were in corporate and I feel like that must've been like, I guess a typical 9 to 5 or maybe longer hours depending on the workload and stuff. But like, what made you start your pages and like, were you always into health? Did you always have a passion for that? And you're like, you know what? COVID's a great opportunity to do this now. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, that's exactly it, actually. So I've been through quite like the health journey myself. I think ever since I was like 17, 18 years old, just, you know, we can get into that later, but just a whole journey of stuff and COVID. So I've been ever since that, like I've been super passionate about health and wellness and nutrition. And like, I've gone down a rabbit hole of just the world of like health and wellness. And then when COVID hit, I was a second semester senior in college. I was taking like one class. I moved back home. I had nothing to do. And I was like, I'm interested in nutrition. Why not take a course or a certification online to become a holistic nutritionist? So I started that and it was just purely out of like wanting to learn more. I didn't even think I would like take clients or have a social media presence. Honestly, it was just like, I wanted to learn. I was like, good opportunity to do it. I have nothing else to do. So while I was taking the course, I was like, you know what? What if I started to like share some things online about health and wellness, my recipes, my tips, whatever. And I started a TikTok before I started an Instagram. So this was like April of 2020. And I started a TikTok just because I was like, I don't know, this is a new app. It's interesting to me. And I started posting like healthy recipes and wellness tips and all that good stuff on TikTok. And at that time, no one was posting like health and wellness stuff on TikTok yet. Like it's very different. It was very different than it is now. Like it was just like dancing videos and like, you know, what TikTok used to be more of. So I feel like I was like one of the only people doing it, which I don't know, was interesting. And that started to grow. So then I started to make an Instagram account just to piggyback off of the TikTok that I started. And from there, I just kind of worked on both. I just kept growing both and posting. And it really just came from a place of like pure passion and genuine, like, I love doing this. It almost felt like my outlet from my corporate job because my corporate job was so intense. The hours were really, really rough. And so having like almost like a creative outlet, that's what like posting on Instagram and TikTok felt like for me.
Yeah, no, I feel like you went over so many things there. Like, first off, like you being in university, it seemed like you had kind of like a route of like what you wanted to pursue. And you kind of like followed your gut in terms of like, oh, I'm a little bit interested in nutrition. Like this sounds kind of cool. And instead of just being like, no, I have to focus on this career path and like only take these relevant courses, you're like, why not just like dabble in it? And I find that so many people in their 20s, including myself, like all of us have been through it, like feeling lost and just like not knowing what to do with your life. I feel like a lot of it comes through trial and error because nobody can know right away you know, since they're like 16 years old, which is so young to like decide what you want to do with your life, what you want to do. So it's like, why don't you just try little things here and there? And if you don't like it, great. Then you know you don't like it. And if you like it, then obviously that's like amazing. So I love that you, you know, listen to that voice being like, hey, I actually like this. And like, I just want to try it out. And then even if it is a side thing and you are, you know, getting your stable income from a corporate job, for example, it can grow and like you can have multiple passions in life. So I love that, just in case like anybody needed to hear that. And then it's so funny because like now TikTok, I feel like it's so much wellness, that girl trend, all of this stuff, which can be like very much also focused on aesthetics. I feel like you do a great job of just being like who you are and just showing up and being like, hey, I just had a random thought, like, let me share it with you guys. And I just love that because it does give that big sis energy that I feel like you really encapsulate. So it's so funny that you started it back then, because I think I was turned off by TikTok because of all the dancing videos. I'm not out here trying to dance and stuff. So again, another way you kind of like listen to your intuition. So yeah, that's awesome that like now you basically had to transition out of that corporate job. So was that hard? I'm guessing that was quite hard, because I feel like all the stories that I do hear about that, you have to kind of look at it from different angles where it's like, A, can I make enough money to support myself through my side passion? And then B, just like letting go of that, you know, control and like stability, because working for yourself is not as stable as a 9-to-5, for example. So could you talk a bit more about that? Because I'd love to hear your experience.
Yeah. Well, thank you first off for all the nice little tidbits. I appreciate that. I want to say that I love what I do. I love working for myself. It's definitely amazing, but it's also not as glamorous and quote unquote as easy as like some people make it out to seem. And I think this is probably more just like general entrepreneurship, and especially, you know, when you're younger and starting something of your own, I think it can be very overwhelming. It can be very scary. It can feel very confusing and like almost not knowing what to do. And, you know, imposter syndrome coming up, and a lot of different emotions have come up for me in the past, I don't know, 2 years, just throughout like the journey of deciding to quit and to work for myself full time. And it's funny, because when I was working my corporate job, I thought once I quit, like then all my problems would be fixed and like then I would be happy and it would be super easy, smooth sailing. But actually, once I quit and started doing this full time, it came, so many other things kind of came up that I had to deal with, more like mentally than anything, of just like, you are your biggest like inner critic. You are the person standing in your own way to get where you want to go. And so with that comes so much like mental battles, I think, that you have to deal with. And the reason I'm sharing all of this is because like, I want to share the other side of things too, and let people know that like, it's not all like sunshine, rainbows and butterflies. Like I can go to Pilates at noon in the middle of the day and go for a walk and, you know, go to Erewhon and get my green juice at 2 p.m. Like, sure, that's great. It's all amazing. But like, if you are wanting to go through this, or you currently are going through this, like know that it's totally normal to experience like the full range of emotions. And for me, I think the best piece of advice I could give, like looking back on what I've been through and what I've been going through, is just to always work on your own self-development and always work on like sharpening and like improving your mindset when it comes to who you are as like an entrepreneur, as someone who's working for themselves, like, or if you are somebody who wants to get there, work on your mindset around it. Because I did not realize it is like 90% mindset to get to where you want to go, and like 10% action, because you will stand in your own way like 9 times out of 10.
100%. That's so important, because for me, for example, I'm finishing up my last year of grad school. I am like very pulled to like the entrepreneurial side of things after like I'm done. And I'm sure I'm going to go through a similar thing that you did, where it's like, oh, once I'm done school, it's going to be so great to be able to just, you know, let out a sigh and be able to work for myself and do all these things. Even with me having like kind of one foot in the door of like doing social media and doing this stuff on the side, I do experience like what you're talking about, like those mental blocks. Should I post this? What are people going to think? Or like, is this dumb? Especially when social media is the outlet that you're putting everything on. It's just like so easy to overthink your way out of things. you know, you think they're important, but you just don't know how people are going to receive it. But I feel like when it comes to building like a community and having somebody, some people that you know you can trust on like receiving it well, mm-hmm. that's like amazing. But starting is the hardest. I'm sure even starting your page as a side thing like was hard. So you said you went through these like mental blocks and like, you know, you realized that mindset was really something that could hold you back potentially. Were there any practices or things that you did that really helped develop a healthier mindset, and things you still do today, maybe even? Because I'm sure a lot of people are like, I'm there now and I don't know what to do about it. Like, I'm just a critic to myself.
Yeah. No, it's a good question. And I think there are definitely like some tangible things that you could start doing today. Looking back, I probably would have started implementing these things earlier, but I think there are more things that I'm probably doing now. But I think a lot of it has to do with your self-talk. And I know that's not like an easy thing to just change overnight, but a tangible thing you could start doing now is like literally whenever you start spiraling and negative thoughts, or you're, you know, not in a good mindset or mind place, start journaling, start like literally looking at your thoughts and then changing them. So the problem is that we identify so heavily with our thoughts, but really all it is a thought. We just need to let it pass through our mind. But the problem is we like grab onto it and we're like, oh my God, my thought says, or like my inner voice says this, so it must be true. It's not true. It's just a thought. It's just, you know, conditioning and programming and beliefs that have been with us for a long, long time, what are shown in society. And a huge thing too is like rewiring those beliefs. So for example, like coming from college, from like a big university like Michigan, I went to the business school. Like I was taught, this is what you do. This is the path you take. This is the job you take after school. And you kind of have to like rewire those beliefs of like, wait, do I really need to be doing those things? Or like we're taught, this is the amount of money you should be making, or this is how you should be getting money, or doing this or that or the other. And so a big thing for me was like reteaching myself, relearning, like, what does that really look like for me? Like, what does my dream life look like to me? Is it what I was taught? Not really. So like, I can choose to shift that. And so you have to rewire and like almost reshift your beliefs and your thoughts and your self-talk, which like I said, is not as easy as it sounds. But some things you can do are like journaling, writing down your thoughts, consciously choosing to change that belief, change that thought. So you can write down like, what is my current belief? Even if it's, you know, not what you want, just write it down without judgment and then look at it and say, what do I want that to be? Literally put an arrow, shift, this is the new belief. And you start reaffirming that to yourself. You can start saying it out loud in affirmation, start writing it down, start like literally just repeating it so much until it's impossible for you not to believe the new belief or the new thought or whatever it is. And I think meditation helps a lot with this too, because it separates you a little bit from your own like inner voice and your thoughts. So you can kind of like take a step back and just like observe and like kind of let the thoughts go. So I hope that's helpful. It's harder than it seems, but even just having awareness about it, like this is the first step to have awareness, is you're going to be 10 miles ahead of everyone else.
Yeah, 100%. No, that's like super helpful. And the awareness piece is so important, because sometimes you don't even realize how rudely you're talking to yourself until you write it down. It's so eye-opening. I don't know if you ever do this. Go back on like old entries or like old things that you've written down, and you were like, and you read it and you're like, oh my God, like, why was I so mean to myself? It's just, it feels like a different person. And obviously we go through different phases of our life where, you know, maybe some we are more rough with ourselves and whatnot, but I think when you keep everything in your head, it's literally just a million miles per minute. There's so many thoughts going on, and it's like, okay, put that on paper, see what comes out. And then it's like, there's some, a little bit more lighter, like you have a bit more bandwidth to think about other things. So I feel like journaling also just helps you feel lighter and like not have to have that heavy weight on your shoulders all day long. So that's super helpful. I know meditation is a bit intimidating for some people. If you could do like 30 seconds of breathing or like something super, super small, I feel like with these wellness practices, they can get so overwhelming because people think they need to have like a 2-hour morning routine. And I'm like, honestly, even just 15 minutes, like if you can just have some alone time, that's when you're going to have that awareness come in. If you don't have any alone time or any time to just like sit with your thoughts throughout a whole busy day, then of course you're not going to realize how rude you're being to yourself all day.
Very true. So true. It really is little things. Like even this morning, so my new thing currently is I'm trying to get 5 minutes of morning sunlight, mm-hmm. morning sunshine, just like for my hormones, for my energy levels. And I've been doing it the past few days and it's so easy. I literally take my matcha and mm-hmm. I go and I sit and just sit outside and get morning sunlight for 5 minutes. And it makes such a huge impact on the rest of my day. And it just goes to show, it's like literally 5 minutes. You can take it. If you're scrolling on your phone, like you can take those 5 minutes, put it towards something and it could make such a big impact. It doesn't have to be big.
Yeah, 100%. I know we're both like matcha lovers too, so I love that you had to like mention that. For both of us, kind of like a lot of our lives are on our screens. Like I know you just mentioned that like mindless scrolling. So how do you kind of create boundaries between you and over consuming or just being too much in front of a screen? Because we are not built for, you know, being on a screen 10 hours a day or whatnot. So do you like have time limits? Do you have like times where you're like, you know what, it's a no phone time? For me, I try to not have like an hour of phone time, like in the morning, first thing, because it just gets my cortisol up, honestly. And like, I just cannot be comparing myself to people in the morning, first thing. So anything that you do that helps?
Yeah. I mean, that's a big one. Like not being on your phone and scrolling first thing in the morning. I sleep with my phone on airplane mode. So mm-hmm. I'm not even tempted to like check my notifications in the morning, which is pretty helpful. But also know that like, I'm seriously not perfect with this. It's a lot easier said than done. Like sometimes I do wake up and scroll and then I'm like, fuck my life. My morning is going to be a lot different, but it's okay. Yeah. I'm not perfect with it. So just know that for sure. But also something that I've been doing that's helped me, like when I'm with people, is I'll take pictures and videos, you know, especially since we are posting online. Mm-hmm. And I won't post it until like the next day or later when I'm alone. So that's helped me be more like present in the moment, like when I'm doing something, instead of like taking a picture of my meal and posting it right away, I'll just mm-hmm. have all the pictures and videos like ready to go. And then I'll post it later.
If I'm at a dinner or an event or something, like I'll like wait until I get home, or I'll do like the next morning. And I love when I'm with my friends and we're just like talking and I want to be talking right now. I forget about my phone. Like those are the best moments when you forget about your phone. So yeah, that's super helpful. I want to backtrack a bit. So we talked about you transitioning from corporate to entrepreneurship. Now I want to get into like the specifics of what you do now as a holistic nutritionist and kind of what a typical day looks like for you, and maybe like what clients come to the most about, like what problems they have. What are you seeing the most of these days?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a super good question. And every day is so different, which is why it makes it kind of hard to answer that question. Yeah. But I'd say typically speaking, like what I'm doing generally is content. So whether that's content, like organic content that I'm posting on my pages, or sponsored content that I'm posting for, you know, brands, that's a bulk of what I'm doing. Events, going to events or things in LA, there's so much to do in LA. So going to like events or meetings, whatever that looks like that day or that week. Then I also have my podcast. So my podcast takes up a lot of my time, you know, planning for episodes, recording episodes, uploading, all that good stuff. Same with YouTube. I haven't really been posting on YouTube much lately, but when I am, that's another big piece of my day. Currently, I'm not taking clients right now. So that's not in like my day-to-day right now, but mm-hmm. I was taking clients and I absolutely loved it. I'm going to have to start taking them again soon, because I like really miss that one.
You like miss it?
Yeah, I miss the like one-on-one interaction. I do have some other projects that I'm working on. So, you know, that gets in the mix sometimes too. But my days really revolve more around like tasks. It's like get these things done. It's not right. That's the big difference, I think, work from going corporate, like when you're in a 9-to-5 to then work for yourself. It's like mm-hmm. it's not like just time-based. It's like, okay, here's the tasks for the day. Mm-hmm. And like I'll lay out my week at the beginning of the week and then like each day. But when it comes to clients, because you did ask like what most of my clients came to me for, I would say it's a mix, but generally speaking, everyone kind of had like a same underlying thing, which is just generally not being happy with themselves, I guess is the best way I could put it. Like whether that's you know, lack of self-confidence, lack of self-love, having a not as great relationship with food, not having a great relationship with themselves, wanting to feel better, how to eat better, whatever mm-hmm. that is. I think a lot of them kind of came for different reasons, but then they always left feeling so much better with their mindset. And mm-hmm. that's something that people like said a lot, was that they didn't realize that they were going to leave with like a completely different mindset. Cause a lot of what I do in my personal belief is that it starts with the mind. And yeah. if you shift your mindset, you can shift so many other things in your life. And so that was a big focus with me and my clients, is just really working on like, how can we shift your mindset to help you reach your specific goals, whatever that might be.
Yeah, no. So like that approach seems really, really healthy, because I feel like a lot of people might just be like, okay, let's just change your diet. Let's just change how many times you're working out. Hold up. Let's actually see what your relationship is with yourself. And maybe you have self-limiting beliefs, being like, oh, like I could never be somebody who goes to the gym. I could never be somebody who, you know, is deserving of money and success. And like those things hold us back so much. And sometimes you need somebody else. Like we talked about journaling, but if you have a layer where you're like even hiding it from yourself, maybe it's not going to come out in the journal sessions. And maybe you need somebody to like pull it out from you, whether that's someone like you or a therapist or whatever it is, because we don't realize how much we hide from ourselves. It's yeah. crazy.
No, it's actually nuts when you think about it.
Yeah. So you would first like basically start with any mental blocks, mindset, and then would that kind of transition into food and fitness and all of that? Or people would be like, you know what, I'm kind of ready to take over my life, keep going with these healthy habits.
It really was like individualized on the person, I will say. And so I just kind of let things come natural, like depending on where they were at in their health journey or their fitness journey. And maybe some people needed more help with the mindset stuff, and some people needed more help with the actual, like, hey, these habits, like how can I actually get into these right. habits, holding them accountable, giving them journaling prompts, whatever the case might be. I really kind of made it individualized to the person. Mm-hmm. So there was not like,
a cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. No, 100% makes sense. So, if somebody's like listening to this right now, and they just don't know where to start with their health journey, they're feeling really lost, there's so much information coming at them on Instagram, and I just want, you know, a small step in terms of like where to start, what would you say to that person?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first off, congrats. I'm happy for you and proud of you that, you know, you're wanting to at least start towards making your overall well-being a little bit better. And if that is you and you are in that position, I would really, really highly recommend starting small and kind of blocking out some of the noise, because I know it can be so overwhelming. And the problem is that when we have so much noise and, you know, on social media or people telling us what to do, we'll get so overwhelmed that we won't even do anything. So mm-hmm. I know it comes with good intentions, but maybe your best option is finding like one or two people you trust, starting with that for like that information. And then starting with one or two habits, like going for a walk 3 times a week or introducing a healthy new meal, trying a new recipe like once a week. It could be so, so simple. And that is, I think, where a lot of people go wrong, is that they think they need to do 100% overhaul of their life and their diet or their lifestyle, whatever it is, when 0 to 100 doesn't work. It's not sustainable. And mm-hmm. the best thing you can do is starting to make small shifts, small healthy habits that are sustainable, that you actually enjoy, because that will help you for the long run versus mm-hmm. trying to do like 0 to 100, like crash diets or whatever it is. You know, that's what people think they need to do. And then they wonder why it's not working for them a few months down the road. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So starting small, find one or two habits, healthy habits you can start to implement into your life, and cut out the noise a little bit, you know, like maybe only find one or two people that you trust and then go from there. Don't let yourself get bombarded with all the information, because you'll get so overwhelmed that you won't even do anything.
Like if you do follow a bunch of people, you don't even know if all of them are very, they have the credentials or just like, you know, they're kind of spewing BS. Mm-hmm. So definitely recommend Rebecca. If you're looking for somebody to follow, I'll definitely like keep your username and everything in the bio. But speaking of like health journeys, can we hear a little bit about yours and, you know, what you've kind of been through over the years, whatever you're comfortable sharing. I know we both probably just have had a lot of things that have brought us to where we are today.
Yeah. Yeah. So my health journey started when I was about 17 years old, like in high school. And I was a competitive soccer player my whole life. I knew absolutely nothing about nutrition. I ate chicken nuggets and french fries every single day. No joke. And I decided to quit soccer around that time when I was like 17, 18 years old. And I was like, oh, okay. Like I should learn about fitness. I should learn how to work out on my own. Cause I never knew how. So I started getting really into like fitness and like, I don't know if you remember, this was like 7, 8 years ago. Damn, I'm getting up there. It's like 7, 8 years ago when like fitness Instagram and like fitness YouTube were like the rage. They were the thing. They were preaching macros and calories.
I had like my fitness pal. Like
yes, all my fitness pal, all the protein supplements, all the this supplements. Like it was a huge thing. Like the Gymshark culture too. Yeah. Like I was a Gymshark girly. Like, I mean, I still like Gymshark. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
I'm saying that was the culture. And I took it way too far. And it wasn't from, you know, I had good intentions. It was really exciting to like build muscle and see like changes in my body, but it started becoming really toxic, really obsessive to the point where I had really bad disordered eating, binge eating. I started developing other really bad physical symptoms as a result because of it. I actually started gaining weight because of how messed up my relationship with food was. I started developing really bad gut issues, hormonal issues. I didn't like who I was anymore. I had no self-confidence. I just did not have a good relationship with myself. And it really kind of hit rock bottom to the point where I had to build myself up again. And I had to heal my relationship with food. I had to heal my gut because every single doctor I went to was not helpful. So I had to do research on my own. And that's how I got into like holistic health, learning how to heal myself from the inside out, my hormones, my gut, my skin, like my overall body. I just had to learn so much about like how to get to the root cause and how to heal yourself. And I think one thing led to another. I started, you know, getting more into holistic health, wellness practices, nutrition. And that's how I've ended up at where I'm at today. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, is because I've been through like such a wide range of like problems at a young age in just like the health and wellness sphere.
Yeah, for sure. What you said before about starting small, it seems like you kind of took little tidbits here and there and maybe did some trial and error and was like, this is what's kind of working for me. And then like slowly, slowly building it up. It's not one day you did a full 180 and you're like, okay, I'm into like health and wellness and I'm like so holistic and everything now. It's those problems take time also to get at the root cause, which is why so many, I mean, like I love Western medicine, you know, doctors are amazing, but sometimes they really want it to be like a quick fix because there is a big demand for doctors and they want you to be in and out fast. But these things are, you know, things that take a long time to heal. So in terms of you had hormone issues, like gut issues, like all of that stuff. It's like, those are big systems in your body. And I think when it's like something where you're obsessive, like I went through that too. Like, you know, when I was like very obsessed with just like what I was eating and I was scared to eat out at restaurants because like, I don't know what oil they're using, like all of this stuff where it's like taking the joy out of what health should be. And I feel like health should never be obsessive because then your mindset is you're always focusing on that and you don't have a bandwidth for like your relationships and like what you want to do in life. It's just very, very all consuming. So yeah, I've been down that rabbit hole. It's really, really toxic and it's really hard to pull yourself out of it. But then when you do, you're just like so much more confident in who you are. Like I've never been so comfortable in my body as I am today because I just don't care as much as I did before. Yep. I know I'm fueling myself. Like I feel good. I have energy, all the things that I tried, the keto, the whatever. I'm just like, I always felt so crappy. And I always, I bet looked the same, but my mindset was so different. And now I probably still look the same. I probably have gained weight, but I'm like, I have the best relationship with my body now. I don't know if you feel similarly.
Oh, totally. And even when there are fluctuations, because you know, that's normal for your body to fluctuate. I don't obsess over it anymore. I don't get upset over it. I don't feel bad about myself. It's because I don't attach my self-worth and my self perception to my body anymore like I used to. And I think that's a big problem just in our society, because that's what we're taught as women. You know, it's not anyone's fault that, you know, you might be going through this. And I want to emphasize that, that if you are struggling at all, or you were struggling, it's not your fault. You're not a bad person. You're not, this is not your doing. This is what we're taught, especially as women. And it's, you know, you have to show yourself that like grace and compassion, and just recognize that it's like, okay, don't be hard on yourself if you are struggling. So I just wanted to, you know, give that little tidbit. But yeah, in general, it's just, you, I don't attach my self-worth to my body anymore. And that all starts in the mind. That doesn't show anything like about my body. That's not because of how I look or anything. It's from my mindset, you know, and realizing I'm so much more than my body. I don't need to do all of these things. It's about feeling good at the end of the day. And that's why I really don't have these problems anymore, is because I fully changed my mindset around it.
Yeah, for sure. Just how you were saying, it isn't our fault. We're like always bombarded with these messages. It's, you can also kind of curate what you're being exposed to. If you are following 100 fitness Instagram models and then you see that every day, that's a barrier, because you're going to be constantly reminded of that message. If you don't want to unfollow them, mute them, like have it not be the thing you see every single day. And then replace it with healthier, you know, options of what kind of content you're consuming. Because I feel like what kind of things you're seeing every day impacts you so much. Like you need to curate that as well as then make the healthy mindset changes. That's like your winning formula in terms of just how to start. And then eventually down the road, you'll be in a position like us where, you know, we're not as attached to our bodies in terms of our self-worth. And it's like crazy for me to even say that, because even 2 years ago, I was not at this point. And it's those little changes really do add up and make such a big difference. And then one day you're like, I don't know who I was before, but like, I like who I am now.
No, that's a very good point. So true.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know you're like a big preacher of just being very aware of the kind of the changes we go through as women, and being aware of syncing like your exercise with like your cycle and all of that. And I've only recently started to like become more aware of my actual cycle, like probably within the last year. And I feel like I know my body so much better. I think in the past, I would do like a HIIT workout, maybe like a week before my period. Why do I feel so tired? Why can't I get through this workout? I was just able to get through it 2 weeks ago. So hard on myself. Like what happened to you? Why can't you do it? So you don't have to like, you know, give a whole lesson or anything, but how have you implemented cycle syncing, like with what you eat and how you move? Because this is like number one thing I feel like women should know.
100%. I even just started learning about it like this past year, and I'm just I just am baffled at how women don't even know their own bodies, and we aren't even taught like the four phases of your cycle. Long story short, you have four different phases of your cycle: your menstrual, your follicular, ovulatory, and luteal phases. And during each phase, you're probably going to be feeling a little bit different. And there are certain workouts and foods and things you could be doing to help optimize your cycle and to optimize each phase. And so, you know, your menstrual phase and your luteal phase, which is what comes right before your period, are good times for more rest. And this is something that like I'm still dealing with, because like in society, obviously rest is not quote unquote, you know, productive, or we're not taught to rest really. And as women, we're not optimized in. So let me backtrack for a second. Men's hormonal cycle is 24 hours, right? Mm-hmm. So each 24 hours, they have the same hormones that are coming. The testosterone rises, then it goes down, and it redoes it every single day. So they have the same cycle every single day, which is optimal for the 9 to 5, for the jobs that we are, you know, taught, for school, for whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Versus a women's cycle is 28 days. So we actually flow with the moon, and therefore we're going to feel very differently on one week than we are going to feel the next week. And so without getting too much into a tangent, the best thing I can tell you, and the best advice I can give you, is that do your own research. There's a ton of research about all of this nowadays, and you can find out, and like by doing research and by listening to your body and like really taking those like intuitive hits, if you start to kind of implement some of those things, such as like resting more on your period and luteal phase, you know, going harder in the gym when you're ovulating and follicular, whatever it might be, once you start implementing those things a little bit more, you will feel so much better in your own body. Like your self-talk will even improve. Like the way you know, your relationship with yourself, because you understand more like, oh, I'm in my luteal phase. I'm about to get my period. Like, no wonder I feel tired. Maybe I should rest. I shouldn't put myself down about that because that's so, so normal. And I think as women, like as a collective, we have to come together and realize that like these things are normal. We have to start normalizing it. We have to start being kind to ourselves about it, because men's hormonal cycle is completely different than women's. And men's obviously their cycle is going to thrive better in our society that we live in than as women because of our 28-day cycle. And so just learning to be kind to yourself, learning to flow with your cycle. I mean, that's a huge thing, like being in flow, living in flow. That's such feminine energy too, like being in flow with the different phases and how you might feel differently throughout your cycle, and learning to be kind to yourself about it. So do some research. I mean, I even have a whole podcast episode about this if you really wanted to learn like in depth about it. But there's a ton of good resources online nowadays, and just learning more about it and then applying that to really how you're feeling throughout the month is just going to help you so, so, so much.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, now society was kind of made and designed by men, and that works for them, but like, it doesn't really work for us. And, you know, some weeks I am not productive at all because I'm tired and like mentally, physically, and it's just like having that sort of gentle approach on yourself. You know what? Like, my body is amazing for going through this. And, you know, my reproductive system is like amazing for being able to do this. So having that, you know, it's like a common theme throughout this, like that mindset shift, so important. And it was like, even when you were talking about that, I could see like how passionate you were about it, because it's like so true. It's not spoken about enough. Yes, we did learn about, you know, getting your period in high school, and like we had the little lesson plan on that, but it was not really as in depth, or like not really emphasized for women how important it is to kind of be aware. It was more just like, here, you're getting quizzed on it, cool. So I'm definitely going to link that episode that you have in the show notes, because I feel like a lot of people will be interested in that. So for the end of my episodes, I like to do just little rapid fire questions that are really like fun and simple. So I'm just going to like do a few with you. I love this segment. So first one is, what are your wellness non-negotiables?
Love. Okay. Matcha. Love matcha. Meditation. Morning sunlight. Oh my God, it's literally the M's. Matcha.
All M's.
Matcha, meditation, morning sunlight. And these are also some like recent things. Like I said, the morning sunlight. So
This
can change over time, but right now I'd say that, and walks. So movement. Love going for walks, even if that's
literally four M's.
literally the four M's.
I love that. Honestly, I think matcha is always going to be one of my non-negotiables. Like, even if it ebbs and flows, like that one is going to be the one constant.
Same.
Gotta do it. Okay, next one, because we're in fall now. Pumpkin or maple?
Pumpkin.
I'm maple. I don't know why. I just think it's the Canadian in me.
Canadian.
I choose maple. Canadian. Do you have any like fun recipes coming up with pumpkin? Like, or do you have a favorite that you make every year?
So next week, my goal is to make a lot of fall recipes, actually. So stay tuned for that. Someone requested pumpkin scones, and that sounds so good. So a lot of fun fall recipes are in the works.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I feel like this is the season to be like cozy and baking. Mm-hmm. So I love that all the recipes are coming out. Although I'm kind of still in summer mode. I'm like having a little bit of one foot here, one foot there. Just like, it's coming. Same. But
I'm a summer girl at heart.
Mm-hmm. It's going to still feel like summer in LA now.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that's the craziest thing for me is like, you know, I'm used to the seasons and stuff, but in LA, like when my friends talk about, oh my God, no, summer's coming to an end, I'm like, what are you guys talking about? It's literally still summer. Like, it's so nice out.
Like, you know what it was like. I feel like if people grew up there, they're just like, you know, it's cold now. And I'm like, honestly, it's not cold. Like, you don't know what cold is.
Oh my God. Tell me about it. I give my friends so much shit.
Okay. Next one. What are you most proud of so far, from 2022?
Ooh, that's a good question. first place that my mind went was my new Air One smoothie.
I was thinking that too. Yeah. I was like, she has to say it. She has to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that was a pretty proud moment. Very proud of myself for that.
No, I love that. I like need to recreate it, or I need to fly and come get it because it like sounds so refreshing.
Yeah, no, you should recreate it. It's so good.
No, I definitely am. While the weather is like still kind of warm and stuff. So this is very fitting into the next question, but favorite thing to buy at Air One other than your smoothie?
That's a good question. Anything from the hot bar, to be honest, I would probably say my dream plate is their coconut turmeric chicken tenders. They're gluten-free with buffalo cauliflower and the kale white bean avocado salad. That's my dream. Like, that's what I want right now.
Oh, that sounds so good. I had the cauliflower when I visited. That was unreal. Mm-hmm. And then I think I had it with the salmon and the Japanese sweet potatoes.
Oh my God. Both that too. That's also unreal.
So good. So good. Okay. Last question. And I ask this to everybody. What does health mean to you?
Ooh, that's a good one because it can look so different on everyone. And I always preach that, like, you know, health looks different on everyone. And it also can look different at different seasons and stages of your life, by the way. For me right now in this season of life, I think health looks like taking care of myself and honoring my body in whatever way or shape or form that looks like for me right now. It's like taking care of myself, like physically, mentally, emotionally. So like, you know, very holistic, and also honoring my body for whatever it's needing. Like, for example, you know, going back to the hormones, I realized that my PMS and my periods haven't been normal, and I kind of brushed it off for a bit. And now I'm like, you know what, this isn't normal. So I've been seeing a functional medicine doctor, did a hormone test, and found out my hormones are kind of out of whack right now. So, I mean, I don't want to get into that too much, but like, that's just an example of like really honoring my body and not just like brushing it to the side. Like, what is my body trying to tell me right now? And how can I honor that? And how can I help, you know, help myself feel my best? So I guess that's kind of what health is looking like for me right now.
No, I love that. Again, it's kind of that awareness piece of just like, you know, listen to your body and like, don't tune it out, because, you know, I've gone through that too, where it was like, I had a period where I just like, didn't do any more HIIT workouts or intense workouts. My body was not having it. And it was like, honestly, you need to do low impact right now. And then that goes with like the seasons. Now I'm like incorporating high intensity back again, because it feels good. And I'm like, this is working for me right now. So I love it. Like the ebbs and flows, it's not linear. Always want to emphasize that. I love that definition. Thank you. And thanks for coming on today.
And of course, thank you so much for having me. This is such a fun chat.
I know. I can't wait to be back in LA, or if you ever want to come to Toronto, not in the winter, but if you ever want to come
down.
Yeah. Okay. So have a great time in Chicago and hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. You too, girl.
Bye.